Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pursuit of Service podcast. Today, Brian's going to share some very personal and introspective leadership insight into his recent experience as the father of the bride as his daughter Anna recently got married. So it's really special. It's really interesting. And really, it's a lot of fun when you get to get so personal and think about more than just an organization, but really your life and your family through the lens of leadership. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Hey, Brian, happy early Thanksgiving.
Happy early Thanksgiving to you, Jeff. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. You too. Speaking of being thankful, I know that you're very thankful for a big event that you've had in the life of your family that you'll be talking about today.
Yeah, you know, it's been a big year for me and you. You know, you launched a business and I released a book but in our family, the biggest thing that happened in our family is back at the beginning of October, I had the privilege of walking my daughter down the aisle and watching her get married. So,
congratulations.
Well, thank you. It doesn't get a lot bigger. There's only a few things that are even in the conversation. There's like birth and funerals and weddings, and really nothing tops those three. So,
yeah. Well, as your friend, I know that this has been a big deal, obviously, leading up to it. And so I've got to kind of watch and see the excitement and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just very happy for you guys. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that. So,
and I can only imagine that as the father of the bride, there's all kinds of ways that you can be leading, even though you're not the focal point of the event itself.
You know, and that's an interesting, that's a very good insight. We're actually going to talk about that, you know, because as the father of the bride, you play a major role, but you are not the star of this show. You know, they are not talking about you. If they remember you, that is not a good thing. and how you lead and navigate through that entire process is definitely things that there's definitely leadership principles that are transferable to everyone in their every walk of life. But I'm not going to talk about this, but you saying that made me think of something. How challenging it is to be a grandparent on the wedding day.
Mm.
Because here's the thing about grandparents. They are actively involved for the most part in their grandchildren's life if they're geographically close.
Yeah.
I mean, they're helping fund their education, probably. They're buying them clothes. They're seeing them all the time. I mean, they are actively involved. On the wedding day, it is the wedding coordinator just looks at them and says, okay, you're the grandparent. Excellent. Here's when you walk down. There's where you get seated. And they move right past them on to the next thing. And it kind of struck me. I felt sorry for Anna's grandparents.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they're almost fixtures or pawns in this ceremony.
Yeah, they're a pawn in this production, you know. And it just made me, I looked at Sonia and I said, okay, we're going to pour our life into our grandchild. And on this big day that we've been praying for and helping invest in and preparing and, you know, and our inheritance is going to go to a lot of this. Yeah. And, you know, we're an afterthought.
Yeah.
At every step of the way, we are an afterthought. So, yeah. So the father of the bride is definitely not the main player, but I still played a much more prominent role than the grandparents played.
Yeah.
And I actually feel sorry for grandparents a little bit on wedding days. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you mentioned grandparents and the influence that you have. I mean, this is a great example of the basic leadership challenge of having influence and leading when you're not in charge. So like a grandparent typically is not the one raising the child, right? That's usually the responsibility of the parent. So the grandchild's not making the rules and the discipline. They're maybe reinforcing and providing guidance, much like you as the father of the bride, aren't calling the shots on the wedding and the details and the cake and all that stuff, but you're trying to shepherd it through, especially on the resource side. So just a quick side story about the importance of influence and the example of grandparents. So my grandfather, my dad's dad, he was a career Army officer. And just like my dad was a career Army officer, and I spent some time there as well. I vividly remember in high school one day he called me up on the phone, and we didn't talk on the phone all that much, and we weren't geographically located. So they lived in Texas and we moved around our whole lives, so we'd see him once or twice a year. And it just really struck me because what he asked me on the phone, he asked me if I personally knew Jesus Christ. And it took me by surprise, but it meant so much to me because he cared enough just to check in with that. Right now, my father and my parents had the biggest influence on me coming to Christ, but the fact that he followed up with that is just a great illustration of that. Yeah. So anyway, sorry for the side story there.
No, that's a good side story. Puts an exclamation point on it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So,
but on to the topic at hand.
Yeah, you know, you and I have not really done anything on family or parenting, really. And I think you're going to get a lot of, you know, parenting things out of this. And I don't, you know, you're never going to probably hear me do a message or anything of that on parenting or anything like that. You know, I just always think I'm woefully short on that kind of stuff. But I do think that there's some stuff I experienced at the wedding that is good for all other parents to hear. And we kind of walk through this journey together a little bit. So yeah, we'll hit a handful of things and hope they add value to some people.
I'm excited. I can always use some parenting tips. So let's go.
Good. All right. So the first thing I want to share is the night before the wedding. The night before the wedding was tough for me. I could not sleep. I wasn't nervous about how I would look or, you know, everybody staring at me and Anna coming down the aisle or I wasn't, none of that. What went through my mind the night before the wedding was all of those times when I might have lost my temper and I was too tough on her, when I should have been gentle. You know, those times that I shouldn't have really worked. I could, you know, looking back, she wanted to spend time with me and I was busy working. And, you know, it's just those missed opportunities. All of them were just playing like a reel through my head all night. And I just remember, you know, there's that phrase, oh, if I could do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. It made me who I am. Okay. I don't tell people how to think, but I think that thought process is crazy. I'd love to change about 100 things I've done that I'd like to do over on. But I remember just sitting there thinking, where did the time go? The time that she went from midnight feedings and diaper changing to standing there in a wedding gown was the blink of an eye. And my thing for parents is whatever phase your child is in and however uncomfortable it might be for you at that moment, you know, a diaper phase or a terrible twos or, you know, rebellious teenager, just whatever, you know, enjoy those phases because when they're gone, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming back. And, you know, you'll reach a point that you'll look back and you'll go, I wish I had every one of them back again.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that was the night before the wedding. So woke up the next morning and it was like God gave me a gift. About 7 a.m., Anna sent me a text. And I won't tell you what the text said, but it was a cute little text. And it was just like God reminded me, you know, no parent's perfect. That's why you need a savior. You aren't all that bad. You know, she's texting you at 7 a.m. on the day of her wedding.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that's, That's amazing.
And so the leadership lesson on that one is very simple. It's Psalm 127, verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. And, you know, enjoy your kids. Enjoy everything about them. They are a gift from God. And enjoy every season. Enjoy every moment. You know, it's kind of those things. The days are long, but the seasons are short. Yeah. You know, and but just that was the night before the wedding, and now that leads us into the day of the wedding. So,
amen. Good stuff.
So, first thing on the day of the wedding is the first viewing. So, you know, I'm a dad. You know, I don't know a lot of these things, but the first viewing is when the mom and dad are presented the bride for the first time. And so anyway, the first viewing, I mean, I'll get into it in a second, but there's also a thing, you know, when I looked at my daughter, here's a leadership principle on this. Leaders have to properly evaluate reality. I was sitting there looking at my 24-year-old Anna. She ain't two anymore. Anna is a grown woman.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there and I'm looking at her and I'm like, this is my daughter in a wedding dress. You know, she ain't a toddler anymore. She's an absolutely stunningly beautiful young lady. And the thing that kind of struck me at that moment was, Brian, she's probably been that way for several years.
Right.
You know, you've probably still been the protector and what time you getting home. And, you know, you've still been doing that deal. She's been a beautiful young lady for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so that kind of hit me at the first viewing. And so, you know, the leadership lesson there is, hey, leaders got to evaluate reality. You know, you can't lead people from point A to point B if you don't know where point A is. I mean, it's a very simple concept. But yeah, there was that one. But then the third thing is there's a thing called a letter to the father. And I was not familiar with this concept, but there's this thing that at the first viewing, the bride presents a letter to both the mother and the father. And so I won't go through Anna's letter to me, but I will give you this one phrase. She goes, "Daddy, you're the first man I ever loved."
Mm.
That was one of the phrases.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the leadership lesson from that moment, and this is something good, especially if you're a single man listening to this. It is incomprehensible how much fathers love their daughters.
Yeah.
It is incomprehensible. And, you know, as much as we love them, it pales into how much God loves each of us.
Right. That's right.
And so, you know, that was the thing from the letter to the father. So we're now getting ready for the wedding itself. And I call this is the fourth part. I call this the calm before the vows. So I had a friend of mine who has already been through this process, and he told me, he goes, "Brian, walk slowly through every moment because you will be creating memories that you will enjoy for a lifetime." I think as leaders, we have to have the wisdom to know when things are really special. And leaders are just wired for movement and wired for accomplishment and wired for taking new ground and wired that the status quo is the enemy and wired against passivity, you know, and wired against plateau. That's how we're wired. But there are moments that you need to turn all that off and you need to walk slowly through that moment. Because that moment is unique and set apart, and you will remember it the rest of your life. So, you know, we were there that weekend, and I remember it came time to walk Anna down the aisle, and I looked at her, And I'm like, well, how fast do you want to walk? You know? And she goes, I just want to get down there. And I'm like, okay, buckle up here. You know, here we, yeah, we're going, you know? And so we start down the aisle, and she kind of goes, the thing that was holding the veil in her hair, she goes, I think my veil's fallen out of my hair. And I just said, I'll keep an eye on it. And if it starts to fall, I'll catch it. So there, for me, I mean, every wedding's going to be different, but for me, there wasn't a lot of time for emotion because number one, I was walking so fast. Number two, I've got my eye on the back of her head, making sure the veil doesn't come out.
Yeah.
So I kind of look back, I was protecting her all the way down to the altar. I mean, that's how I like to, that's what I like to tell myself anyway. But the thing is, yeah, leaders, there are times that leadership gene needs to be harnessed. That these are special moments, and you need to walk slowly through it and not miss anything. Fifth is the reception. So Anna is now married, and it's the wedding reception. Here's the leadership lesson for me from the wedding reception. Anna is a program director. In other words, she creates services for churches. So, you know, what she does for her career right now, she is the worship youth tech coordinator and director for Fellowship Bible Church in Roswell, Georgia. So she manages two services, two bands, dozens of volunteers, hundreds of kids, and she puts on those two worship services. She planned the entire reception. So on a certain level, some other people who have liked to have been part of the planning were kind of like, well, we're just excluded from all this, you know?
Yeah.
That's part of the pre-wedding relational chaos that just seems to infiltrate every wedding. But here's the thing. Anna knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah.
And the wedding reception, I'll say this, Jeff, the day I got saved and the day I got married are the two most important days of my life. Everything else in my life hinges off those 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding, and specifically the wedding reception, was the funnest day of my life.
Mm.
Wow. It was the most enjoyable, funnest day of my entire life. And when you look at that wedding reception, these youth have these weekends called D-Nows, and they bring in bands that play, and it's a big deal. Well, Anna, they had used glow sticks at one of her previous D-Nows. So she brought glow sticks to the reception. Well, it made it, anyone can dance if you're holding the glow stick.
Yeah.
Because you're part of this like wave, and anybody can dance with glow sticks. So it was just fun. And I asked her about it, and she goes, yeah. She goes, Daddy, I brought D-Now to the wedding.
Wow. That's cool.
And so here's the leadership lesson. Let people play to their strengths. Don't overmanage stuff. If somebody knows how to do something better than you do, empower them and equip them and resource them to carry that out. And if you do that, everybody wins. Everybody had a phenomenal time at the wedding, especially the wedding reception. But honestly, it was because Anna played to her strengths. You know, everybody else is wondering why they're not in the planning. Well, that's okay. The planning was taken care of.
Right, right.
And so that was the lesson there. Number six, the morning after. So Anna got married at a destination wedding, and it was a beach wedding. So the next morning I got up and I took a walk, and there was a kind of secluded part of the beach. So it was just me. I mean, there were some other people 50, 100 yards away, but basically just me. There's this incredible Bible verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It's after Jesus was born. And it said, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Obviously, it's not on the level of Mary giving birth to Jesus, But there are moments in our life that we get to ponder things in our heart. And on that beach walk that morning, where it was just me and a beach and God, I got to ponder raising Anna and giving her away at that wedding and all that meant. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And the leadership lesson from that is this: the greatest leader that ever lived is Jesus. That's not even in question. Even if you're not a Christian or a Christ follower on this podcast, this is undeniable. We literally measure time by when that human being walked on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There has been more art made about him than any other person who's ever lived. There's been more songs written about him than any person that's ever lived. We have holidays, multiple holidays dedicated to his activities on this planet. The organization that he instituted called the local church is still prospering over 2,000 years later.
Yep. And his influence is felt through culture.
Yeah. And he's clearly the greatest leader. Even if you're agnostic, or, I mean, I'm going to be hyperbolic here, even if you're a Satanist, you have to admit, no, Jesus is the greatest leader that's ever walked this mm-hmm. planet.
That's
from
right.
Any practical standpoint. So there's a Bible verse, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. James 1:17. Raising Anna and watching her grow up was a good and perfect gift.
Amen.
And on that morning at the beach, I had the opportunity to ponder that in my limited version as Mary got to ponder the birth of Jesus. And now with that said, I will wind up with the final lesson. And this one is much more pragmatic and a lot less emotional. And I want to address the money.
Of course. I was going to ask you if you didn't bring it up, but we got to talk about the cost and the resourcing.
Yeah, because I get it. Everybody that's listening to this is probably going, oh, that's sweet, Brian. That's nice, Brian. How much is this thing? All right. So here's the deal. It's expensive. Start saving now. Wherever you're at, it's like your 401k. Wherever you're at, start investing now. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like you need to financially plan for that.
Yeah, and you do. And so we had a budget, and, you know, we tried very hard to adhere to the budget, but somebody gave me this advice and it turned out to be 100% accurate. Whatever your budget is for your wedding, add 10% to it.
Mm.
And when you think you've paid for everything, you haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you a little specific example of that. I'm staring right now. I mean, obviously those listening, I'll can't relate to this. We're about to ship a dress off, her wedding dress. You know why? It's a beach wedding. She's got sand all in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to cost $250 to get it clean and get the sand out. Okay. Well, we're still paying for the wedding.
Yeah.
You know, but that's okay. She married an incredible young man named Jonathan Cosentino. The memories that we had, the experiences that we had, I I'm not being hyperbolic with this statement, I've already forgotten how much we paid.
Right.
It's irrelevant. Once you pay it and you go through it, it's irrelevant how much you paid. So whatever your budget is, add 10% to it. Always be prepared that there's something else you got to pay for, and walk slowly through that moment and just enjoy it. So
that's
good. But that was my seven lessons from my weekend as the father of the bride.
Fascinating. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I know that's kind of deep for you, you know, so it's a great privilege for us to hear it. And one, just kind of, if I were to add my fatherly leadership lesson of the day, which is kind of an underlay or present in all seven of yours, is as a father figure, as a leader, we are obligated to take extreme ownership. So just this concept that we are completely responsible. I mean, we can't control how people behave. We can't control what happens in life, but we still take that responsibility for the bringing up of our family. And that's just kind of present with all of your reflections throughout there, even though you didn't say it outright. There's an element of your evaluation of your extreme ownership throughout, everything from the pondering to the cost. So,
well, Jeff, I mean, it was like your statement earlier made me think of grandparents. Your statement right there made me think of something else. When you have extreme ownership, you can't turn that off in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he said, who gives this, you know, who gives this, you know, Anna away to, you know, for marriage or whatever the pastor said, my brain's shaking at this moment, but, and I say, I do. Well, I all of a sudden don't go from 100% extreme ownership to zero and transfer it all to him.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I thought heading into it that once she got married, I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I mean, I'm literally done. I worry as much about her now as I did when she was under my roof.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the escalating apartment rent cost in America. It's ridiculous how much people are paying for apartment rent.
Yeah.
I'm worried about, okay, well, how's she doing at her job? You know, I can coach her through if she makes a mistake where she won't have to do it again. Well, I can't do that now. You know, if she's not feeling well, I can, you know, Sonia was the main caregiver, but at least I'm around. Well, now if she's not feeling well, guess what? I don't even know about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so I worry about her as much now as I have. So I got to kind of work through that, you know, but you're right. When you have that extreme ownership, you can't turn that switch on and off like a light switch. I've not figured out how yet. Anna's been married at this taping about 6 weeks. I've not figured out yet how to manage that extreme ownership with, you know, she's married now. Now, yeah. Now also I've been fabulous on this. I've not told them how to decorate their house or how to do their money or, you know, I told Jonathan I'm out of the advice business. You know, if you ask for some, I'll give you some, but I'm out of the advice business. Well, so far as of this date, you know, I'm good on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that extreme ownership, that's a real deal that you got to navigate.
Well, one of the most valuable things any leader can do is spend time in self-reflection. And this gave you the opportunity to do that and to share it with us. So it's been a great joy to hear everything that you just described and experienced. So thanks for sharing it all.
Yeah. And for our viewers, I appreciate the divergence of topic. And I'm sure next month, me and you will get back to like three leadership lessons from college football playoffs we'll come back to something still very applicable, but much more superficial. But yeah, I appreciate the deep dive, emotional, reflective time on this one. So
yeah, it's like a leadership hug. I love it.
our whole podcast audience, we just brought them in and gave them a big hug right now.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget, serve others not as a task, but as a purpose.